From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 10th day of February, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Happy birthday to my brother Rob. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the weather forecast for the globe and agricultural production around the planet with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, I'll remind you to register for tomorrow's FarmDoc Daily Winter Meeting Series. It's free and a webinar online. All you have to do is go to willag.org and look for the FarmDoc Daily Webinar Series. Tomorrow, we'll take up ECO, Enhanced Coverage Option. That's the new portion of crop insurance. Talk about crop insurance decisions as well. Bruce Sherrick and Gary Schnittke will lead the discussion, and I'll be there to help guide you through the process. Tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central Time, sign up for the Winter Meeting Series at willag.org. Just look for the FarmDoc Daily Webinar.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn finished 21¾ lower today at $5.34½ a bushel. The May at $5.32¾, 21½ lower. And December contract just 7¾ lower. That's the new crop at $4.48. March soybeans down 47¾, 13.54 the settlement price. May at 13.52½, 46¼ lower. And November new crop at $11.63½, down 27¼ cents. The bean meal down $16.40 at $422.30. The bean oil for the day at $45.69, 83 cents lower. Wheat futures, March contract at $5.35½, down 14 for the soft red. The hard red, 19½ lower at $6.14 even. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the April at $122.70, $1.12½ lower. Feeders at $139.50 in the March, 85 cents higher. And lean hogs at $81.82½, $1.45 higher on the day. Crude oil at $58.68 a barrel, about 32 cents higher now. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.76¼, around a half of a cent higher, and the wholesale price of gasoline on the RBOB, a penny and 6 cents lower at $1.65¢. Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Thanks, Jackie, for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Support and resistance levels, have they changed at all today?
No, they've managed it, at least not on a monthly chart. We haven't seen that, or even on the weekly chart so far. March support 507, resistance 571, the crossovers at 559 and 427. May 529 support, 581 resistance, crossovers 561 and 455. December weekly chart, we have support at 440, resistance at 465, and the up channel support at 427, resistance at 473. When we look at beans, we've got March support 1262, resistance 1466, crossover at 1023. May 1290 support, 1407 resistance, and the crossover, there's two of them, 1286 and 1080. When we look at the November weekly chart, support 1132, resistance 1203, and there the uptrend remains intact too, 1117 support, 1245 resistance. And so we go to the Dow Jones. 29,569 support, 31,272 resistance, same as it was. Dollar hasn't changed, 87.8, 92.07. And I'll just go on into the managed money and the export inspections right away, Todd. Managed money, a little bit of a shift there. When we look at these soft red wheat, we increased their long positions to 21,000 from 5,000 last week. We saw them decrease their corn positions from 386 down to 372. Soybeans, they increased their long position to 196 from 146. And on soy meal, increased their long positions from 69 to 77. And soy oil, they increased it from 111 to 126. So we saw them It kind of goes back to what I was looking at yesterday. I think what we were seeing is we were seeing spreading, and yesterday we were seeing spread unwinding going on because you saw that corn was down and beans were up. And so I think it's just some repositioning that's been going on in the marketplace. Export inspections. Wheat exports are running 1% behind a year ago, same as it was last week. Corn 85% ahead of a year ago, that was 84 last week. And soybeans 80% ahead of a year ago, was 79 last week.
In Chicago, it was a rough day, a lot of red. What happened?
Well, it's a combination, I believe, Todd, of a lot of different things that are going on. We're heading into the China New Year on December or on Friday. Golden Week is next week, which means they're shut down. In years past, we haven't gotten any export sales out of them, so the anticipation is that the export sales are going to slow. We did get some news that the Brazilian harvest might move forward because they got some good windows of dry weather coming, and the Argentine truckers ended their 20-day strike. So all of that, I believe, has led to some pretty strong profit-taking in the marketplace today, and I think a shock for a lot of people. You know, after seeing so much green for so long, it's really tough to be able to digest that it's red. Now, the carry for March to December, it actually went up this week from 90 to 94 cents. Carry in beans went down from 211 to $1.97. And so just a few notes that I've got here that I picked up out of Reuters. You know, when you look at what the USDA came out yesterday, that's a 73% drawdown in soybean stocks, the biggest year-on-year decline since 1963, and a 19% drop in corn supplies, which is the biggest in a decade. But at the same time, an analytics firm, IHS Market Agribusiness, projects U.S. corn and bean acres at 184.324 million acres, which eclipses the previous record of 180.329 that was set in 2017, and that would be up 4.8% from 2020. So with that kind of news coming out too, I think, you know, it puts pressure on new crop. You know, we surged 48% on corn during the last 5 months, and that primarily was on the dry Midwest harvest, you know, the cut in the yields as well as the demand. And so the last time prices were trading above this level, corn prices dropped 28% over the next 4.5 months. Now, I don't think that that's necessarily in the cards right at the moment, but I do think that our listeners have to keep that in the back of their minds, that they can't get so bowled up that they believe that this market can't go backwards, because it certainly can.
On a day like today, producers are thinking, oh, I wish I had sold old crop. and I know they have it in the bin still.
Yep.
Should they sell on the way down?
I wouldn't be selling today. I think that, you know, we've got to confirm this. We managed to, you know, when you look at corn, we've managed to hold the 10-day moving average. Yes, we broke down, or excuse me, the 20-day, we broke down below the 10-day. Not a good thing, but we'll see. You know, I wouldn't necessarily panic at this point in time. Not, we still have a lot of good things in the background. And yet, it just depends upon how much they're sitting on, Todd. You know, if you weren't willing to make a sale when the price was higher, why are you willing to make a sale, like let's say on beans when the price is was 40 cents lower? If you're willing to risk it, I think that you have to be willing to hang on yet today. I just don't think that you should be panicking at this point in time. We have to have some pullbacks in this market. That you always see that, and so I would say that, you know, we come back in here tomorrow, and we start to just totally collapse and go through. You know, get to the 40-day moving average, let's say, although we were there not that long ago. But if we get below the 40-day moving average, yeah, then I think you need to move something. But for right now, I wouldn't panic.
You know, a lot of this has been about the exports. What did yesterday's WASDE report tell us about those numbers?
Well, they did raise corn exports by 50 million bushels, and they raised bean exports also by 20 million bushels. So, you know, we're still saying that we should be moving forward. There's no question about that. They raised corn price, the cash mailbox price, by a dime on corn, but they didn't do anything on beans. They left at 11.15. You know, if you look at the big picture, we still feel very, very strongly that this market is going to move forward. One of the things, I think I talked about it last week, you know, the Chinese yuan has actually appreciated 12% against the U.S. dollar since last June. And so that does give them a lot more buying power than they would normally have if that wouldn't have been the case. And so, you know, you look at the big picture, though, you know, the world numbers. Now, when you look at corn, the world carryout actually went up on corn. and went down on beans and down on wheat, but it actually went up on corn. And so a lot of that, I think, is related to when we go down to South America and you look at the numbers from South America yesterday, people were disappointed. You know, they thought that the USDA was going to just cut the Brazilian and the Argentinian numbers, and they actually didn't make any changes. They left it the same, and I'm glad they did, because I think a lot of people are not taking into account how many extra acres have been planted down there. And so the likelihood of them still in Brazil hitting 133 million metric tons is there, even though they're slow planting, but they've planted a lot more acres. And so when you look at the Chinese imports, you know, that was the thing that was driving the market the day before. You know, they were saying that they were cutting the Chinese production dramatically. And so I've looked at some information, and it's really kind of scary in some ways. When you look at the world soybean numbers at 83.4 million for carryout, if you take China out of that number, it's at 54.8. And we represent just 3.2 million metric tons out of that 54.8. And that's with our carryout at 119 million bushels. World corn, 286.5 million metric tons is the carryout. If you take China out of that picture, it's only 90.4. And we represent 38.2 million metric tons out of that 90.4. So they definitely control corn in the world at this point in time. And on wheat, 304.2. And if you take China out, it's 149.3. You know, so they also control a great deal of the wheat. And, you know, this goes right with what they believe, and that is food security. That's what they're all about, food security. And so, you know, we didn't see the USDA slash their corn production yesterday at all. They left it stay the same. And I just think that basically, you know, they increased their imports a little bit, but the market in itself was disappointed. It thought that the, you know, USDA was just going to jump on the story and get it done. But that's not the way it works.
Hey, before I let you go, are you going to attend the virtual Ag Forum next week? I know you like to go to that event. This year it's online.
Yep, planning on it. You know, I think that it always very interesting.
And it's free. And anybody can attend.
Yes, which is really a nice thing. I think it's a great experience. I mean, having gone out to D.C., you know, for so many years, being there is just an amazing experience, because you get to go to a lot of the breakout sessions. And I learned a lot about exports and how unfair the playing field was for the United States, way ahead of it ever being talked about, because I was able to go to some of those meetings and just shake my head and go, what do you mean? They're charging us 30% and we're charging them 6%. What is this all about? But I would encourage anybody to do it, because it's just extremely interesting.
Yeah, so if you want to do that, it's easy enough to do. I'll try to put a link up on the website at willag.org. But if you search out USDA Agriculture Outlook Forum, it's next week on the 18th and 19th. You can register. It's free to attend. And if you've not scheduled yourself to be at one of these before, it's part of your business on the daily and weekly time frame. You might want to take some time out and drop in on a few of those forums. Hey, thank you, Jackie, for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. You know, the crop insurance premiums may cause farmers some sticker shock this year. There are three reasons the price will be higher. First, there's the option to add ECO to the policies, which cover income on an acre of corn or soybeans. ECO stands for Enhanced Coverage Option and can push the income insurance to 90 or 95%. It's new, and University of Illinois Ag economist Gary Schnitke says it is worth considering. That's reason one, the premium will be higher. Reasons two and three have to do with the higher price of commodities. Here's Schnitke using the premium calculator available for download from the FarmDoc website. He's put in a McLean County, Illinois farm.
Yeah, so last year, and again, I'm giving you an example, our P85% product. Last year, that would have been $12.70. This year would be $26.27 with a projected price of $4.88 and volatility at 0.24. If we had the same volatility as last year and had that projected price, the RP premium would only go up to $16 per acre. So $10 more because of volatility increases. It does the same thing to ECO. So last year, for a 388 price and a 15 volatility, a 90% ECO product would cost $6.44. At a 488.24, it cost $11.90. A little less than double.
Last year, when the crop insurance price for corn was $3.88 a bushel, it cost $12.70 an acre to insure the example McLean County farm to 85% using an RP product. This year, that same coverage level at $4.88 on the corn price is about double, projected around $26. And if you add the ECO product to push the coverage to 90%, it'll cost about $38 an acre. Now, if you're interested in learning more about ECO and crop insurance for this year, you can do that Thursday, tomorrow, at 11 a.m. Central Time on a free webinar that the agricultural economist Gary Schnitke, who you just heard, along with Bruce Sherrick from the University of Illinois, will be hosting. I'll be there as well, guiding you through the process. You can learn more about registration and the webinar itself at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. At either place, you'll find a registration link. It's really easy if you go to willag.org and just look for the Farm Doc Daily placard and you can get yourself registered. That's tomorrow. Crop insurance, ECO. The decisions are a little different this year than they have been in the past, and it's very likely the premiums will be sharply higher compared to previous years, in large part because of the volatility in the market and the higher price of commodities. But you'll want to know that going into the March 15 time frame. You can learn all about ECO and crop insurance tomorrow from the Farm Doc Daily team here on campus. willag.org to get yourself registered. It's free, starts at 11 a.m. Let's check the weather forecast now on this Wednesday with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Your Chiefs didn't win this year, but it was deflating for the city?
My gosh. I'll tell you what, this city was riding a pretty big wave for a long time, and boy, they came crashing down on the beach here.
it happens from time to time. And it probably didn't help very much that it's just been so danged cold. Speaking of which, it's going to stay that way for a little bit longer here in the United States. And there might be some other kinds of things coming along with that, blizzards and snow, that will be difficult as well. Can you tell me what you've been watching?
Yeah, you know, the cold has been certainly impressive. First off, there has been some damage done to minor wheat areas in the Dakotas because they are still today snow-free, and the cold air has been up there for already almost a week. Temperatures have been as cold as minus 20s and minus teens Fahrenheit up there across western North Dakota and down into northwest and central parts of South Dakota. Now, North Dakota doesn't produce a huge amount of wheat, but if you're a producer and has got a wheat crop out there, you care quite a bit about what's happening out there. And there is a little bit more wheat in the snow-free areas of South Dakota. So the losses there will be interesting when we get a chance to assess that down the road. But outside of that, the cold has just been amazing. It's such a deep and broad-based cold air mass reaching from the Arctic down into the central plains. It's been somewhat stationary all the way through this week, and it's just night after night of really cold temperatures. It's stressful for livestock. We've had waves of snow occurring across parts of both the, we'll call it the central parts of the country. The far northern plains obviously haven't had much snow, and the southern plains, actually, they were pretty warm until the last couple of days. What's going to happen now is that the core of the cold is going to settle into Nebraska and Iowa over the weekend. And in response to the more southward shift in the cold air, we will see two waves of significant snow evolve. The first one is going to go across hard ribbon or wheat country. That will occur as we go from Friday into Saturday. And then there'll be a second wave of snow, which will be a more significant event. That's expected to occur from late Saturday into Monday, again in hard ribbon or wheat country. But that one's going to drop all the way down through a big part of Texas There's even a chance it's going to snow in northeastern Mexico. So pretty impressive event. A lot of livestock stress in the Southwest Plains, a pretty big concern about the animals down there. And then this snow event will turn the corner and evolve into a major storm system over the Delta and the Tennessee River Basin early next week. And we could see substantial snows there, too, and an ice storm in some locations. This is could be a really big deal. So we'll keep an eye on that. There'll probably be some flooding, too, in parts of the southeastern U.S. on that event. The good news, if there is any on this forecast, is that we are probably going to start warming things up immediately following that early week storm system. So a little more pain, if not a lot more pain in some locations, and then we will start to get out of this mess.
In South America, how has the weather been for harvesting soybeans in Brazil?
We are in our sixth day of dry weather from Mato Grosso down to Rio Grande do Sul in Paraguay. Really a nice break from all the rain that they've had recently. The ground firms up pretty quickly in at least some parts of interior southern Brazil because of a sandier soil there. So this is ideal. If they aren't working aggressively in the fields right now, I'd be shocked. I think the trend here is for us to revert back into a more scattered shower pattern starting tomorrow and going through the weekend. But this rain frequency is not high enough to really set them back in a major way. The rains that come on after that is another story. We may see a little bit higher frequency and longer lasting rainfall as we go into the week next week. So the best progress in the harvest season so far is probably underway right now and will most likely linger into the weekend. And then after that, we'll be back into a slower mode.
Further to the south in Argentina, they're about mid-season. It's been kind of tough there. Are things getting better or are they still dry?
Well, they got real good earlier this month, and in the last days of January, they had substantial rains. The ground is still adequately moist today in the heart of Argentina's production region. Crops did turn around greatly as they started to move into reproduction. But now we're going back into a little bit of a drier mode again. There's not going to be a lot of precipitation in the southwest or central parts of the production region going on into next week. And so the ground is going to go ahead and firm up, and we'll see some crop stress resuming. If it lasts into the latter part of February, some of the late crop is probably going to experience some stress, and we could still lose a little bit of production potential. I personally think that we will see a little more timely rainfall in late February and early March that will prevent this crop from being any kind of a big disaster. But we could still have enough stress to shave down the yield in a few pockets there.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.